Well, our purpose today is to review and to celebrate our mission as a church. Today is a chance for us to consider our purpose. It's a chance to reflect on all that God has done and all that He continues to do in our midst. And with that in mind, we're going to watch a special video together. And I want to explain to you what this video is and why we prepared it. For the past year, the communications team headed up by Don Nall has been working on this video, and the purpose of it is to create a video that you can hand to a friend. We're going to put it on DVD, and it enables you to give a DVD to a friend so that they can be introduced to the church and to the different ministries of the church and watch this in the comfort of their own home. Apart from ever having to visit, they can learn what we're about and hopefully be drawn to participate. And so we've been working on this, and we've been waiting for the right time to share it with you, and I believe today is the perfect day as we consider our mission to unveil it. So let's watch and enjoy this together. Welcome to Covenant Life Church. My name is Joshua Harris. It might be that someone invited you to Covenant Life, or maybe you just drove by and wondered, what goes on in that building? Well, whatever it is that led you to watch this DVD, I want you to know I'm grateful you're taking the time to learn a little bit more about us. Our church began in 1977 in the basement of a Montgomery County home. The 30-plus men and women who gathered there had a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They wanted to build a community where they could learn and grow and worship together. They wanted to understand the Bible's teaching and apply it to every part of their lives. On the surface, a lot has changed since the late 70s, especially our size. But one thing's remained the same. Our mission as a church is to build a community of gospel-centered people. Let me show you a little bit of what that means. First, the gospel is good news. The message that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born, lived a perfect life, and then gave up His life on the cross, dying in our place and taking the penalty that we deserve. This is the heart of our faith, the most important truth, the truth that defines us and gathers us together as a church family, and we love to celebrate it. That's probably one of the first things you'll notice when you visit on a Sunday morning. There is a lot of joy here. Every week, we look forward to singing and praying together. As we worship, we're celebrating the undeserved mercy of God and reminding ourselves of all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Another way we work to keep ourselves gospel-centered is through the study of God's Word. We believe the Holy Scriptures are inspired by God, completely true and absolutely trustworthy. That's why solid biblical preaching and teaching is a priority for us. The Bible is where we find our direction as a church and as individuals. We also want to be led by God's Spirit. God has given us His Holy Spirit to strengthen, guide, convict, and comfort us. We know we need His empowering presence to understand God's Word, to know Him as He truly is, and to obey Him fully. We want to see His gifts at work among us, building each other up and bringing glory to God. Sundays are all about God's Word and God's presence. And they're not just for grown-ups. Sundays are for kids, too. For toddlers, preschoolers, and early elementary schoolers, Kids Church is an exciting, fun-filled place to learn who God is. The energetic worship songs, lively dramas, and engaging Bible instruction offered each week are all designed to point children to the gospel. Every week, dedicated volunteers partner with parents to teach kids about Christ and help them develop godly character. Another thing you'll experience on Sundays at Covenant Life is family. Though we know a large church can seem overwhelming, we are committed to vibrant relationships. Whether you are single or married, grew up down the street or in another country, you'll find a warm welcome and a group of people who are eager to get to know you. And our commitment to relationships goes beyond Sunday mornings. Every member of Covenant Life belongs to a small group. We call these care groups because that's where we experience the close friendships and individual care that all of us need in order to grow. Care groups meet in homes. They provide a setting for applying what we've learned from God's Word, and they make our big church feel small. Part of building a gospel-centered community is investing our lives in each other. We do this on Sunday mornings, in care groups, and by sharing everyday life. We want to help one another grow in godliness through every season. Grant Lehman leads a team of our pastors who serve parents, children, and teenagers as they pursue life in Christ. In our youth ministry, we equip parents to fulfill their God-given role and train their teens in godliness. Our monthly youth meetings are for junior and senior high students and their parents. At these gatherings, teens take an active role in worship, prayer, and serving. Meanwhile, they're learning to embrace biblical expectations for young adults and parent-teen relationships. High schoolers and parents attend youth care groups together to receive encouragement in the Christian life. And through Covenant Life School and our homeschool program, kids receive gospel-centered Christian education. Eric Simmons leads a team of pastors who equip singles of all ages to live passionately and purposely for Jesus Christ. The large population of singles at Covenant Life is a vital part of our family. From college students to professionals, singles are actively engaged in the life of the church. Singles care groups allow single men and women to build lasting, godly friendships and apply biblical truth. Over 1,000 singles gather monthly for an exciting time of worship, teaching, and fellowship. Our singles have created a culture of serving others that extends beyond the singles ministry to the entire church family. And our ministries on the campuses of Montgomery College, the University of Maryland College Park, and the University of Maryland Baltimore County provide students with many opportunities to reach out and share the love of Christ. Brian Chesmore leads a team of pastors who serve couples in building strong marriages. At Covenant Life, married couples find a community that cherishes marriage and honors the God-given roles of both men and women. Care groups provide husbands and wives with the encouragement, counsel, and meaningful relationships that help them grow. And couples of all ages benefit from classes that explore the Bible's vital teaching on marriage. In addition to participating in care groups, seniors have many opportunities to celebrate this extraordinary season of life. Outreach events, times of focused teaching, and social outings all remind Covenant Life seniors that God intended the later years of our lives to be rich and fruitful. The news of what God has done for us by sending Jesus to die for our sins is much too good to keep to ourselves. The gospel is a precious gift from God, and we're always looking for ways to reach out to our community and share all that we have received. Our mercy ministries, international ministries, and servant outreach teams provide opportunities for involvement of all age groups. For example, teenagers have the chance to tutor young children, singles teach English as a second language, and families come together to host community-wide festivals on holidays. All of our outreach events are intended to demonstrate God's love in tangible ways. At Covenant Life, it's important to us to help new friends get involved in our church family. Maybe you've never attended church on a regular basis, or perhaps you just moved to the area and you're looking for a church to call home. We hope you'll take advantage of one of the following opportunities to connect with others. If you're just exploring Christianity or simply want to learn more about what the Bible teaches, Alpha is the perfect place for you. Pastor Kenneth Maresco leads our Alpha course, where we supply a great home-cooked meal and free childcare. Then Kenneth and other speakers cover topics like who is Jesus and why did Jesus have to die? Breaking down into small groups creates a warm and open context where you can ask questions about what you've heard and honestly discuss what the Bible says. Many Covenant Life members are involved in making Alpha happen on Wednesday nights, and we love inviting our friends and neighbors to come hear the truth that has changed our lives. When visitors are ready to think about making Covenant Life their church, we direct them to Starting Point. Starting Point is a Sunday morning class where you'll learn more about what we believe and how we live. It's a setting where you can ask questions, get to know our pastors, begin building relationships in small groups, and decide whether or not Covenant Life is the right church for you. If what you've learned about Covenant Life interests you, well, we hope to see you next Sunday morning. We have two meetings, one at 9 a.m. and the other at 11:30 a.m. Children's ministry is provided at both. I also want to invite you out to Alpha on Wednesday night so that you can learn more about the Bible's teaching. We would love to see you there. Thank you so much for watching. God bless you. Would you please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'm so grateful to Don Nall, to Jen Thompson, Mike Hartnett, Kara Wilcox, and everyone else who worked on this video. We're praying that God will use it to introduce many people and draw many people to our church. But today, we viewed it not as an introduction, but as an overview of all the different ways that God is at work in our midst. Today it serves us as a reminder of our mission. And that's really the question I want us to begin by asking. What is our mission? Or to put it another way, what is our purpose, our reason for existing as a church? Why are we here, and what is it that we have to say? Today we're going to see in the final chapter of Luke that both our message and our mission as a church has been given to us by the Lord Himself. Now you'll remember that Luke chapter 24 tells us how Jesus, after being crucified, rose again by the power of God. Though he had predicted his death and his resurrection to his disciples, they were unbelieving. They took a long time to grasp what had taken place. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. She went and told the disciples. They wouldn't believe her until finally Jesus began to appear to his friends. And in chapter 24, we find him standing in the midst of the disciples as they are gathered in an upper room, and he holds out his hands to them. He shows them the scars on his hands and on his feet and asks them to touch him and know that it's him. He even goes so far as to eat a broiled piece of fish to prove that he's not a ghost. And so we pick up the story in chapter 24, verse 45, and let's read together. Then he opened their mind to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. Though nearly 2,000 years have passed, the assignment that Jesus gave on that day to his disciples, to his church, has remained unchanged. Technology has advanced, the world has changed in a million different ways. The culture and values and assumptions that we face today are dramatically different than the ones that the first disciples encountered. But we don't have to reinvent the game plan for the church. The message and the mission are the same. And I want us to consider each one. First, the message. The message that we have been assigned as Christians to cherish in our own lives and to proclaim is of Christ and Him crucified. Look back at verses 46 and 47, where Jesus says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name." Jesus is making it clear, first of all, He's explaining that the Scriptures have been fulfilled in Him. All of the Old Testament, The prophets, the law, the Psalms were pointing to him, anticipating him. And he opens their eyes to understand the scripture and explains that to truly know and understand God's word is revealing is to see Jesus Christ and to see him revealed as the promised one of God who came to lay down his life for sins. And what Jesus makes so clear is that it was his death and resurrection that makes possible the proclamation of forgiveness of sins. He's wanting them to understand that the incredible news that they have to carry, the incredible message that they have been entrusted with, is that men and women who are guilty before God because of their sin, men and women who walk through this life experiencing the consequences of sin in this life, experiencing the spiritual death and separation because of sin, and ultimately the judgment of God for their sin in the next life, that these men and women can know forgiveness of sin through the name of Jesus Christ. Through repentance and faith in his name, we can know forgiveness of sins. Why? Because Jesus was crucified in our place for our sins. That is the message that we have been given. This is the truth that defines our church. This is the truth which is the reason for which we exist. I so hope that you understand this, that we don't invent the message. You see, it's not generated by me or some pastor. We didn't come together and do some sort of marketing or research study to find out what people in Gaithersburg are excited about. We didn't just pick some flavor that we wanted to be. No, this is the message. This is the message of the church in every generation. Christ crucified for sinners. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." And what is this message of first importance? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. I know that there are some of you here who maybe you've never attended church. Or maybe you don't really understand all that Christianity is about. And I'd like to apologize for you for the many mixed messages that you've received in this culture. I know that it's easy to think that Christianity is about a certain political party or a certain position or stance on some issue. Or maybe it's about doing a certain list of things or not doing a certain list of things. I want you to hear something, if you hear anything in your time here this morning. The message of the Bible, the message of Jesus Christ, is that your sin before God can be atoned for. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid down his life. He was a substitute for every person who would believe on him, who would turn from sin and trust in him and find forgiveness. That's the message of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. And that's what the Bible presents to us and what Jesus calls us to present. Not Jesus as teacher, not Jesus as philosopher, not Jesus as activist or role model, but Jesus as the Son of God, crucified for sinners like you and like me. The message of the cross is the message of first importance. This is the only saving message. That's why God calls his church to stay on this message, because there's nothing better that we can invent. There's nothing better that we can present. There's no better news that we can come up with than this. That we can be forgiven before God because of Jesus. This is the message that defines Covenant Life Church. And this is, on this day, what the Go Forward Fund that we'll be giving towards is all about. And I hope you understand that. And I hope you make that connection. And until you do, I wouldn't encourage you to give, because this ultimately is the only reason that I, in my own life, can give with joy, and why I can encourage you to give, because it's about the mission and the message that we've been called to proclaim. You see, apart from the gospel, we don't need another building. We don't need another club. There are all kinds of human clubs that you can join yourself to. All kinds of groups of people that get together because of their affinity for this and that and whatever. No, the reason that we're a church, the reason that we gather together is because of this saving message. The reason that we're investing in training up men to be pastors is because we want them to be preachers and proclaimers of this message. The reason we want to plant more churches is because we want more people to hear this message. That's what the Go Forward Fund is all about. And then we learn about our mission. Verse 47 states that the good news of forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name is to be proclaimed. And not only proclaim, but proclaim to all nations. The disciples learned, and this was a surprise for them, this was a shock for them, that it was not just a message for them, and not even just a message for the Jewish people. It was for all people of every language and ethnicity. Now, the apostles had a unique role in the history of salvation to fulfill in regards to this mission. They were, in a unique way, witnesses of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But this mission is not only given to them. They have a unique place, but as followers of Christ, this is also our mission. We have been called to this mission. Now, a lot of people, when they think of mission, they think of missionaries who go somewhere far away. Somebody gets on a boat, a plane, a train, and goes somewhere to a distant land, to people who speak a different language, who dress differently, and that's what it means to be a part of mission. And that is an important part of the mission of the church. And I'm so grateful that as a church, we are a part of that broader mission is we participate with Sovereign Grace Ministries, which is the family of churches that we are joined to. That's why we give as a church to Sovereign Grace. That's why we give as individuals towards Sovereign Grace, because our mission is not just our local church. There's a broader mission. We want to see churches planted around the world. We want to see the nations reached. But the mission is not only far away. It's not only for those people who are uniquely called to go and cross barriers of culture and cross barriers of different languages and break ground for the gospel. This mission is also for all of us. It's for Gaithersburg, Maryland. It's for Montgomery County. It's for your neighborhood. The mission is for your place of work, for the campus on which you study. That's the mission field that we have been called to as a local church. And each and every one of us, as followers of Christ and as members of a local church, are called not because it's Covenant Life's idea, not because it's the way we do things here, but because it's God's plan. Each of us is called to orient our life around the mission. We're called to different vocations. We're called to different careers. We all have different gifts. We all live in different neighborhoods. But as followers of Jesus and members of a local church, we're all called to say, the ultimate purpose of my life is the mission of Jesus Christ. because the truth that has transformed me is not just for myself. And that's really the heart that God wants all of us to grab a hold of, is this realization that this good news, this message, is not just for my own enjoyment and comfort and benefit, but we are to look outward. We are to look beyond ourselves and our own family, and even beyond our local church, and look to the community around us and the people who drive by us and walk by us in the store and live next door to us, and realize that we're the ones who are called to represent the message to them. And the mission is not just for some professional pastors or people who are into that. It's for each and every one of us. That's why we're a local church. That's why we join our lives together here and serve together and give together and work together and grow in godliness together and raise our families together and reach out together and invite people into what God is doing in our midst. Because of the mission. Everywhere I look in this church, I see men and women whose hearts are on fire for this mission. And I thank you for that. What else can explain the sacrificial service that we observe all around us? Oh, I hope you haven't gotten used to it. I hope you don't grow familiar with it. What else explains people who have busy lives, in the midst of their busy schedules, taking time out of their life to serve, to come on a weekly basis and watch the kids of people they don't know at Alpha, so that their dads and moms can be a part of hearing the gospel proclaimed? Why would anyone do that? Why would people wake up early on a Sunday morning and come and stand in the rain and the snow to direct cars to parking spaces here every Sunday? It's because of the mission. It's because they know that they are a part of, however big or small that part might be, what God is doing in proclaiming the gospel through this local church. That's what gets them out of bed. It's the mission that explains why over 70 adults in our church are going to be leaving our church to go and plant a new church, start a new church in Frederick, Maryland. Why they're willing to leave their homes and face upheaval and face changes in relationships. Why are they doing that? They're doing that because they want to see people in the community of Frederick transformed by the same gospel that has transformed them. That's the only thing that can explain a couple like Fred. Fred and Jackie Cato, who have already been a part of two church plants. They left Covenant Life back in the 80s and helped to plant the Philadelphia church. Then they came back. Then they participated in planting a church in Chester, Pennsylvania. Then they came back to Covenant Life. I don't know about you, but I think two church plants is probably enough. I mean, that sort of checks that thing off your Christian list. Okay, we've done it twice. That's good. I'm just amazed they keep coming back. I'm so grateful for that. But then the announcement was made for the church plant in Frederick, and something stirred in their hearts again. And let me tell you, it wasn't a stirring to want to pack up their home and move again. It was a stirring for the mission. That's what motivates them and their children Let me tell you about two men who are living for this mission as well. And you're going to have the joy of getting to know them in the days to come. The first is a man named Merritt Anderson. Merritt has been in full-time ministry for 14 years. He attended seminary and then he served later as an associate pastor at a church in Northern Virginia for almost 11 years. His ministry was fruitful. He was effective. He was comfortable where he was. But then God began to do something in his heart and his wife's heart as they began to be drawn to sovereign grace and as they began to get to know covenant life. And they talked to their senior pastor about this. And I just thank God for this man and his humility as he began to encourage them to follow what God was leading them to do. With his support and blessing, even though they didn't know what was going to come next, even though they didn't have an assurance of a position, even though they didn't have a carefully worked out plan, they took a huge step of faith and resigned from their current position so that they could pursue involvement in sovereign grace, continuing to serve there for a period of time, but knowing there was a deadline and not knowing where they would go after that, knowing they'd have to move in May, not knowing where they would go after that. And Merritt and Kenneth Maresco begin to get to know each other, and we couldn't make any promises to Merritt, but we begin to get to know him and build a friendship. And over time through that, we saw this same mission burning in his heart. And we saw a character and a passion for the gospel, so that it's been our joy to invite him to attend the pastor's college this fall. And we will be sending Merritt to the pastor's college because of the Go Forward Fund enabling this. He's going to attend the pastor's college and then do an internship for our church and is really joining our mission, not only here in this local church, but in a broader way, our vision of planting churches in our region. I'm so grateful, Merritt, for your faith, buddy. This man could have easily found a position at many different churches. He could have shopped his resume and found a position and not had to deal with many months of uncertainty. He's moving his family. He's coming into a completely new context. Why is he willing to face these changes? Why was he willing to face that uncertainty? It's because of the mission. The second man is Jose Mercado. Jose was born in Puerto Rico and raised in a Catholic home. Through the salvation of his father, when he was a teenager, Jose came to know Christ. And even then, his zeal for the Lord convinced many of his friends that he would become a missionary. They saw something in him. But when he graduated from college, he felt the Lord was calling him to the marketplace. And so he took a job that brought him to the States. He met his wife, Kathy. They were married. Eventually, he found his way to our sister church in Ashburn that's pastored by Bob Donahue. And it was there that Jose and Kathy began to grow in their knowledge of the Lord and their understanding of sound doctrine. And throughout all this time, Jose's career was just flourishing. He was doing very well as a successful IT consultant. He was an executive in his firm. He was making more money than he had ever dreamed. I don't share this with you to impress you. I share this with you so that you can be amazed by God's grace that in the midst of a very promising career, he would be willing to lay that aside. Bob and the other pastors in Ashburn saw other gifts in Jose, as they saw him minister on a missions trip to Cuba and down in Miami, they realized that this man in his native language, in Spanish, had preaching ability and leadership qualities. And they began to talk with him about a call to ministry. And as we are partnering with him, as Covenant Life has the joy, a smaller church like Ashburn couldn't do this, but we are able, with the resources that God is providing through the Go Forward Fund, to send Jose to the pastor's college this fall. Think about that for a minute. Why would a man give up a successful career? Why would he be willing to uproot his family, move away from his friends and the church that he loves? Why would he be willing to give up his comfortable home and live in someone else's basement for 10 months? As he attends the pastor's college and is trained in a completely new vocation. Jose was living the American dream. How could he lay that aside? I'll tell you why. Because a greater dream than the American dream has gripped his heart. He's living for the mission that has been assigned by the risen Savior himself. And his heart burns with a passion to proclaim the message of Christ and him crucified in the Spanish language. He wants to reach the nations that are present in our own backyard here in Montgomery County. And our long-term goal, Lord willing, is to have Jose plant a church here for Spanish-speaking people. Here's the point that I hope is clear to you. Everything that we do as a church is motivated by the mission that has been given to us by Christ Jesus. That's the test. Whenever we consider new ministry, new initiatives, new opportunities, as pastors, we ask the question, how does this further the mission? Because that's what's most important. That's what we are called to. That's the purpose behind every ministry, from children's ministry to the senior saints. It's about the mission. That's what fuels our serving, our fellowship. It's what serves our giving. Think about this for a moment. What is it that motivated people in this church to give sacrificially so that we could enjoy the facilities that we now enjoy as a church? Not only this auditorium, but all of our campus. Why would people give beyond the normal tithe? Why would they give sacrificially? Why would they pass up spending their own hard-earned money on themselves, which is their right to do, and give sacrificially so that we could have this auditorium that we now enjoy? And do you realize that if you're someone who is newer to Covenant Life Church, there were people who had been investing for years. You know, I was so affected last week when Jim Lutz shared his testimony, and he talked about not only how God had saved him through the proclamation of the gospel in this church, but involved him in the mission and how he had participated in giving. And the first time he walked into this auditorium, being overwhelmed with emotion as he realized that God had allowed him to participate to make it possible for there to be empty seats here. Do you realize all that God has done in answering all the prayers, in fulfilling all the dreams that we've had as a church? I remember there being some empty seats when we first met in this auditorium. We know there's still empty seats in two meetings. And since we came and occupied this building, there have been over 800 people who have been added as members to our church. Isn't that wonderful? Just since we moved to having two meetings on Sundays, we have seen an increase. This is an average increase of nearly 400 people on Sundays. That's just from a year ago. There are 400 more people coming on every Sunday. 2 weeks ago, on Easter Sunday, we had the largest attendance in the auditorium in the history of our church, over 3,400 people. And that doesn't include the kids. When you count the kids, there were 2 million people here. Now, I share all this with you not because we're preoccupied with numbers, but these numbers represent real people. They represent new people, They represent the answer to prayers. They represent the reason that we've given over the years. And they represent why we're continuing to give. Because the job isn't finished as we pay off the loan on this building. The job isn't finished as we set our sights on church planting, as we ask God to provide the funds so that we can send not just the same number of men to the pastor's college that we've sent in the past, but more and more. But let me transition from speaking about numbers and statistics, and I want to share with you a living illustration. Because talking about more people or new people can be vague and general, but I want you to be introduced to a specific family. I want you to see them face to face and to hear in their own words as they describe the difference that the gospel has made and the difference that this local church has made in their life. Vaughn and Magdalia Strauss are a dear couple, dear members of this church, and we went to their home this past week and taped an interview so that all of us could rejoice in God's work in their lives. And as you watch this story, here's why we're showing this. It's a reminder for us of the real people that we are called to reach with the saving message of Jesus Christ. So let's enjoy this together.
Our relationship was really rocky. I had lost hope. And I didn't think he loved me. We were having very bad arguments. Well, we weren't married. We had been engaged forever in our relationship. Marriage never took place.
I said, you know, I need to find a church for Baron. It's, I've lived being this life and the world is mean and cruel. And it has no love. And I want Baron to be able to learn about God.
We're coming and we're driving up like this, like a little hill.
Coming from 124.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, and then as we come down, McGuire's looking, and I'm just kind of looking, but
he's like, well, if you find one, just let me know.
No, there it is.
So I was like, what about that one? So I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, if there's any possibility that we're going to work this out, let him walk in and show some kind of effort that he's going to seek you. Because I knew that there was just no way we were going to make it work on our own like that. So then he says, are you coming? I said, no. I said, you go in. And he said, okay. And then he goes, what am I supposed to be looking for? And I said, just make sure it's a Christian church. Also make sure that the Holy Spirit, that you'll feel the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's there. And he was like, okay, whatever that means.
When I was there, I had questions about the membership class, and they said, well, hold on, and the Kurtz came out. And I was just saying, well, my son, he's going to be 5, and we're looking for kindergarten for him, and we would like to put him in a Christian school so he can learn and also learn about God. He says, well, you know, the membership classes, they're a little bit too far, more than halfway over, so you wouldn't grasp what we are about. I said, oh, okay. And I thank God for using her to say, but we have Alpha.
And so I'm praying in the car, and I said, Lord, you know how much what we're going through. And he doesn't come out. And I'm like, what's taking him so long?
She says, yeah, it's going to start tomorrow. I'm like, whoa, tomorrow. Now, what is this about? And it's about asking questions about Christ. Any questions you have? And what's your purpose in life? Why are we here? What's, you know, anything you have, any questions about God? And I'm still there in kind of awe, because I was just saying, you know, we're going through some different changes right now. And I got a little bit choked up.
When he comes out, he had been crying, you know, so I was like, what happened in there?
I said, I don't know, I think we signed up for Alpha. When I walked in, I was overwhelmed by the smiles that I remember in my heart.
saying that I would like to feel that way.
That just drew us to want to know more about Jesus.
The preaching was the holiness of God. And I was just broken, like I've never been before. And just, I was closing my eyes and I couldn't stop crying. I had my hands up and I hear Larry Wethge whispering in my ear, "You can give your life to the Lord right now." And I thank God every day for him to obey God, to come to my ear to say so. Because with that, it made such an incredible difference. To know that Christ died for us. And in the way he died. And to hear a verse, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die." God drew me to stare at my son. And just to have a split second thought of, "You're a father and that's your son." And what an amazing love that he would do this.
There was just so many changes. As I saw Vaughn picking up the Bible, we started to fall in love again, and there was hope again, and there was this thing that we are going to get married. And we lived separate lives. We separated for the Lord, for purity. That was something that was very clear to us. And it was a challenge. It was a challenge because we had been together. We had a child. How do we do this? And just the walk was, we didn't walk this alone. We walked it with the biblical counselors. We walked it with Larry and Stephanie.
I am so grateful to God, how God drew us to himself, used the people that are speaking to us, going to the counseling, realizing where we are in our hearts. And desperate need of a savior.
They didn't leave us and say, "Okay, see you in heaven. You know, see how your life is." They cared enough. The pastors, the counselors, the people in Alpha, which we're still friends with, the Alpha leaders, just they cared enough to equip us on how to live this Christian life. It's the power of God. It's him calling me by name, calling Vaughn by name, calling Baron by name.
By the power of the cross of Christ, there's nothing impossible for God.
God can do the impossible, can he? There are Vaughn and Magdalias in our lives. Maybe they're your relative, or your neighbor, or your coworker. There are men and women just like them who are driving by this building right now. Jesus has given us the mission to proclaim his saving message to them. Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. It's called the Great Commission. It's great not only because of its scope, but because of the greatness of the one who assigned it. That's why the first disciples could be filled with joy, even though they had just been given a seemingly impossible assignment. Think about this. A small band of unimpressive men had just been told that they were to carry the saving message to all nations. You'd think that they would have been discouraged in the face of such a task, but they weren't looking at the task. They were looking at the Savior. And they knew that He had all power and authority, that He had ascended into heaven, and even now sits at the right hand of the throne of God, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named. And it's that reality that fills us with joy as we go forward together in our mission. We're giving today to participate in what God is doing. We're given today because there is still much to be done. But our hope is not in what we give. Our hope is not in the amount that any one person gives, whether it's large or it's small. We give with joy because the mission belongs to God. And He is the one of all power, and He is the one who has clothed us with power by His Holy Spirit. And it's His Holy Spirit living in us that enables us to give with joy and to serve with joy and to go and be the one who speaks in someone's ear. You can give your life to Jesus. And that's why this moment of giving can be such a joyful one for all of us, because it's not some obligation. It is an expression of worship, an expression of commitment to the one saving message that we have been entrusted with and the great mission that we have been called to.